section. But for now, we're going to stay with this little mini-series that we're in called What's Right, What's Wrong. And 2 weeks ago, we kind of introduced this new genre of message where we look at a common statement or something that's been said a lot or circulated a lot recently, and a teaching or way of thinking, and we kind of examine what's right about that statement from a biblical perspective, and then maybe what's wrong or missing from that in light of what the scriptures say. And, you know, maybe even kind of what's confused in there. So we sort of sift through it a little bit. So we looked at two statements last time, and you can listen online and kind of introduce this genre of kind of message as well. But today I'm actually only going to do one, which means I might have to do a part three of this, because I knew, particularly for the outdoor, that it was going to be extremely hot, and I was concerned about people just kind of sitting there for too long, and I certainly didn't want anyone to have a heat stroke while I was speaking. So it's kind of a very perfect and ironic segue into this morning's statements that we're going to examine. And yes, the irony here is not lost on me, but it's almost kind of why I picked the statement a little bit this morning as well, just because it kind of makes sense. But this statement is one that's a little more specific to this past year and COVID era living. And so the statement is this that we want to examine this morning, and what's right, what's wrong. And you've heard this all over the place. Your safety is our number one priority. So you've, of course, heard this over and over again, whether from a fast food restaurant, a car dealership, your favorite store, from leaders across the globe, and yes, even churches. So let's talk about, you know, what's right about this statement, your safety is our number one priority. Hopefully it's fairly obvious that the safety of those around us is and always should be a priority, right? A simple way that we love each other and love our neighbor and as ourselves is by looking out for one another, keeping each other safe, prioritizing each other's well-beings. And, you know, I feel deeply a sense of responsibility even for our church when we gather. And I know, you know, people are or were kind of all over the map, of course, on these kinds of things. And it's been, you know, hard, as I know, you know, people are just in very different places about protocols and different things. But I do feel a profound sense of responsibility to keep people safe. And the last thing we wanted was anyone in the church getting sick or causing, you know, any kind of outbreak because we were careless in any way as a church. And that was kind of a heavy burden that we felt as staff. And it's, you know, required ongoing discernment as we've moved forward and with different things. And we've had to navigate that and make decisions that we hope were wise and balanced in our desire to, of course, protect people, respect our health authorities, while also prioritizing really the need and right for people to gather together and worship freely. So safety, of course, is a priority and is a way of loving and caring for each other. My main, you know, motivation for, you know, following protocols both personally and organizationally, or even, you know, getting vaccinated, is love for others, particularly the most vulnerable and at risk around us. It's really more about them than it is myself. So safety is a priority. However, let's look at biblically perhaps what's wrong with this statement from a Christian perspective as well. It is my responsibility and calling as a pastor and spiritual leader to let you know that in the church, in Christian community, safety cannot and will not ever be our number one priority. Your spiritual and especially eternal well-being is our number one priority. And because of that, I know that actually at times we may have to put our safety at risk for the sake of others and the sake of the gospel and following Jesus. And so we want to be very careful of the promise of or idolatry of safety or protecting our own well-being at any cost. That is not the life we are called to live as Christians. We are often and will be called to put our lives and our well-being at risk for the sake of others and for Jesus. I mean, Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing that certain death and immense suffering awaited him. Similarly, Paul in Acts 20, verses 22 to 24, he said, "And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead." And he says, "And so I'm prioritizing my safety and staying where I am." No, actually, he says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." So he says that this work of telling people of the good news, it supersedes his personal safety. Safety is not actually Paul's number one priority. Let me read you parts of 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. Paul says, "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches." And notice in this litany here that Paul gives that some of these risks, they're voluntary. He chose to forsake food and sleep because of his calling and concern for others. He chose to risk his safety. And at other times, they were not chosen. He was, you know, put at risk by persecution and other people and authorities. And I could give you so many teachings of Jesus, and we don't have time to go through them all this morning, that show that we must risk our lives, lay aside our desire for self-preservation, our personal comfort for the sake of the gospel. I mean, just read Jesus' teaching. And there's no way I could ever stand up here before you and say, your safety is our number one priority. As appealing and reassuring as that might sound, it's actually not a biblical teaching. And yet, and I don't, you know, mean to be critical in any way, but you have to kind of expose misleading teaching or statements when they're out there sometimes. I have seen this from a lot of churches, even evangelical ones. One church was promoting on Facebook, "Our top priority," I'm quoting, "our top priority is the safety of our congregation." And of course, I get what they mean, but that kind of makes my heart skip a few beats in a way, because I don't think I could ever say that in good conscience of what I'm called to do as a pastor, biblically speaking. And here's why this "your safety is our top priority" statement kind of worries me a little bit. Not so much about now, but just looking ahead to the future. That, friends, we are called to potentially risk and even lose our lives for the sake of the gospel. Our top priority is and always will be to follow Jesus wherever that may lead and to whatever that may lead to. I mean, that's our baptismal vow, as you heard a few weeks ago in our baptism, that we specifically ask people before they are baptized, have you given your life to Jesus and are you committed to following him no matter what, whether it's safe or not? And if you want to be a follower of Jesus, I cannot promise you safety as a top priority. Because I know, in fact, that following the gospel may cause you to risk your safety, your well-being, your job, your finances, a comfortable lifestyle, perhaps even your life. And it's why I believe, you know, that this kind of whole COVID season has just been a very small test of really greater tests that are to come. And it is my responsibility to prepare us as a church for that and possible even persecution that is to come. I mean, a day is possibly coming. I think it's good to at least think through this. A day is possibly coming, and I think probably likely in my lifetime, where associating yourself with Christianity here in Canada could risk you to lose your job, your financial security, your reputation, perhaps even your life. I mean, there are people out there right now, who are fighting hard to get the Bible labeled as hate speech in our country, a hate book banned from public use or life. And a day could come very soon when simply preaching the Word of God, hearing the Word of God in a public assembly, that we are threatened with criminal activity, with fines, with jail, or losing our friends. Now, of course, I hope and pray that that day does not come, but we have to at least be prepared for the possibility. And so I can't stand here and say, your safety is our number one priority. I mean, of course, this does not mean ever that we should be reckless, right? We can and should be appropriately cautious and wise when it's easy to do so. It's not like during COVID we were saying, hey, come in the building, shake hands, let's have hugs, you know, let's have close proximity prayer for, you know, a long period of time, right? Like, we don't have to be reckless. We're not called to be stupid. We can be appropriately cautious. You know, it's not like I told Jerry, we're not going to like sing 7 songs outside until we faint and pass out in the outdoor service today. But at the same time, we have to be ready and willing to put ourselves and maybe even our lives on the line for Jesus, just as he did for us. And I've personally had the thought, and I hope you have or will too, that I might need to be ready to die for my faith in this world, in my lifetime. And certainly at least be persecuted for it. And honestly, that if I'm going to, you know, die or take on some risk or whatever, I prefer to do it worshiping Jesus. You know, that's where I want to risk. If I'm going down, you know, I want to go down that way. So friends, we need to be careful not to make choices about our spiritual life primarily based on our safety, our preferences, or our convenience. Our number one allegiance is to Jesus Christ and his kingdom, and nothing and no one else. We don't serve the God of safety or comfort and convenience, for that will become an idol. And if we look at the early church, there's just nothing convenient or even safe about it. I mean, many of them died for their faith in the first few hundred years of Christianity. The gospel calls us to a life of risk, of inconvenience for the sake of others and for the gospel. And so because I actually love you and care about you, I can't say, unfortunately, that your safety, your comfort, or security is our number one priority. Our number one priority, as our vision statement says, is for you to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, which will probably involve suffering, and fully alive with the Holy Spirit, which may cause you, as it did with Paul and Jesus, to risk your personal safety and well-being. So as a response this morning, I want to do something that we were actually kind of planning to do this week anyway. It was on the calendar there, that today is the anniversary of Tyler and Margaret's and Billy's baptism. Well, actually, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but they're in the back there. And so this is their baptism anniversary from a few years ago. And if you've been around for a while, you know often we like to recognize this as a congregation, because we believe your spiritual birth that's represented in baptism is even more important than celebrating your physical birth. This is your newbie day, your baptism day. And so we want to kind of recognize that, to renew their baptismal vows, and as they do it, for all of us to do the same this morning, our vows to follow Jesus no matter what it may lead to. Baptism is the sign that we are more devoted to Jesus Christ than anything else and anyone else. That's why it's a serious step there. So we're going to have them kind of just renew their vows. They don't have to do anything fancy. We're just going to ask a question and they'll say, I do. But you can do this in your heart as well. If you've been baptized, to take a moment, even if it's not your baptism anniversary this weekend, to renew your vows as well. And of course, if you haven't been baptized, talk to us and we'd love to talk to that. So I'm going to talk to you guys back there. Tyler and Margaret, congratulations. I'll ask a question and all you have to do is say, I do. Pretty easy. Easy to say, hard to live. But on this, your anniversary of your baptism, do you wish to reaffirm and renew your baptismal vows of commitment to follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, no matter what? Awesome. Congregation, you who witness these vows, will you do all in your power to support these believers in their walk with Christ? If so, say, we will. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us from death to life through your death and resurrection. And as we renew our vows to follow you, hopefully all of us, may you fill us with your holy and life-giving spirits. May you keep us in the faith and in fellowship with your church, and daily send us into the world to witness to your love and resurrection power, no matter what the risk, living in the power of your Holy Spirit in your resurrection. Lord, as believers, we know we fall short, but we want our number one allegiance to be to you, Jesus, and to your kingdom, to nothing else. And if that means our life is 40 years, if it means our life is 100 years, Lord, that we leave in your hands. As you said on the cross, into your hands we commit our spirits. Our lives belong to you. So, Lord, give us wisdom and discernment for how to practice them well, how not to be deceived by statements out there in the world that may sound appealing or good to our flesh, but actually do not line up with the gospel lifestyle that you call us to. Lord, give us passion for your kingdom. I pray for each person here, everybody listening on the live stream, whether now or later, those in the outdoor services, Lord, that you would give us the resolve to live passionate lives for you, Lord, and that nothing would stand in our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, may you go in boldness this morning, knowing whether you live or die,